right. So, we have been going through prayer, and we've been defining prayer. And what's the verse, the first aspect of defining prayer? What was the first thing we said prayer is? Okay, that's what we did last week. So we did talk about prayer as a means of grace. What else? What did we do in order to begin to define prayer?
A word study.
We did a word study, and what was our conclusion?
Request.
Yeah, that is a request for help from God. Very good. And then, of course, we also dealt with the parts of prayer. And we kind of just briefly mentioned those. And then we also talked about prayer, defining prayer. How do I ask it without being direct? In spirit and in truth. That's right. Good, good, good. So how we pray in the spirit. And how we pray in truth. And then last week we talked about prayer as a means of grace. And so this is beginning to help us think about what is prayer. And I don't think I wrote it down on this week's notes, but we saw that shorter catechism answer of what is prayer. And it says, what is prayer? Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God, the things agreeable to His will, in the name of Christ, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. And, of course, that's a very general definition. We're trying to really dig in more than that. But one of the things it mentions in that definition is prayer is something done in the name of Christ. In the name of Christ. And that's going to be our next part of defining what is prayer. We're going to think about praying in the name of Christ. Again, we're still on section one of our series. We're still on the definition part. So we're still kind of thinking big picture, what is prayer? And then even what is not prayer? We're going to still do that. And then we're really going to get into the heart of this section, the heart of this whole series after that, which is actually working through the different parts of prayer and thinking about each of the parts. But for now, we're still working on the big picture. And done in the name of Christ. Let's look at a verse here, John 16:24. Who's got that for me? John 16:24. Sarah Miller.
Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full.
What did Jesus tell us to do there? Ask in His name. That's right. Another one, while we're there, why don't we flip back John 14, verses 12 through 14. John 14, 12 through 14. Paul, why don't you get to read that for us?
Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Okay, good. So again, what do we see there? So
in His name.
In His name. Okay, good. So when we're thinking about praying in Jesus' name, the reason we're having this conversation is because Jesus tells us to do it. Jesus says, ask in my name, pray in my name. Now, what we tend to do in our prayers is at the very end say, and in Jesus' name, amen. And I said I thought about this little point many years back, and I'm sure no matter how much I said it, there was people who somehow misheard me. I think I said something along the lines of, it's not so much about that little phrase at the end. It's about something far greater than that. And I think people heard, therefore, well, I guess you don't need to pray in Jesus' name. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that we don't want to treat that last little line like some magic spell. You know, like hocus pocus or abracadabra, and then boom, it happens, right? Or we just slap on the words, in Jesus' name, suddenly we prayed in Jesus' name. Certainly, it's great and wonderful to end your prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. But to say that that's what praying in Jesus' name is ultimately all about, I think misses the point. How does the Lord's Prayer end? Does it say in Jesus' name? It doesn't have it at the end. So the fact is, it's not those actual words that are the substance of praying in Jesus' name. When we say those words, hopefully they reflect us actually praying in Jesus' name. Well, what does that mean then? Well, let's begin by asking the question, what's in a name?
What's the significance of a name?
Okay, so when I say Nancy, she looks up, right? And, nobody likes their good name drugged through the ground, right? Your name, in one sense, stands for you. And it can also have a sense of your reputation attached to it. And in terms of God and God's name, we can think of the scriptures that connect God's name with His glory and His person. And so as soon as we begin to think of how the scriptures uses the name of God in that way, we suddenly have a much greater appreciation. Let me give you an example. Turn over to Psalm 8. Psalm 8, verse 1. You've got Psalm 8, verse 1 for me. This is this.
The Lord our Lord, how excellent to be in all the earth. We have set your glory above
him. All right, good. So we see how there it says your name is excellent in all the earth. In some sense, you could replace your name with God, right? You could say how excellent is God in all the earth. But to use the word name kind of has a sense of the reputation of God and his the story of his person going forth. And so there's a close connection here with God, his reputation, his glory, how people know of him. And then look similar a couple chapters over, Psalm 20, verse 7. Psalm 20, verse 7. Dean, why don't you read that for us?
Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name.
Okay, good. So, what does it mean to trust in the name of the Lord our God?
We know who we trusted in.
Okay. I think you're answering the question by the way you're responding. I'm not sure you explained it, but let me give an example here. If I'm an Israelite and I go out in the battlefront, you know, and I see these chariots coming, does it just mean I can say, Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahweh? You see what I'm saying? Is it the name itself, like it's a magic spell? That suddenly pronouncing the words makes some sort of shield around you? Right? No. As you described, it's actually trusting in God. To trust in the name of the Lord is to trust ultimately in God. And so in some sense, the name becomes a stand-in or a placeholder for God himself and for all that we trust in. And so again, now apply this to praying in the name of Christ. To pray in the name of Christ. What does that mean? Any beginning sense to think about? What does it mean to pray in the name of Christ? Eric. He defers to you, Gene.
Well, you know that he can answer you. He's got the power.
Okay, good. So, you know, kind of, I think that might be a good reference to that whole psalm there, right? As you can trust in the name of God over chariots, well, you can trust in the name of Christ because you know God and Christ are able to give you the help that you need. Eric, what were you going to say on that regard?
When you look at the Old Testament, you can remember the preamble to the Ten Commandments, where I am the Lord thy God who brought thee out of the house of bondage. And he's describing his name there by the historic enumeration and bringing to the memory of the people of God his act of salvation. Okay? And his name is very closely associated with his covenant promises in time and space that he has already done, with an extrapolation that he will continue to do that.
Amen. So, I like a couple of the thoughts that we got going on here. And I was using that language of his reputation, and that's very similar even to the quote you just gave there, right, in terms of Exodus chapter 20 there. I'm the Lord your God who did what? Who brought you out of the land of Egypt. See how the name is connected, and I use the word reputation in that sense, in the sense of like what God has done. And I love you bringing in the covenant connection, because then our connection with this one, who's not just a God, but the God, not just the God, Yahweh God. And so, our connection... Okay, sorry. Now bring this into praying in Jesus' name. When you say in Jesus' name, think of just maybe it helps us get our mind wrapped around that. Replace the name with the person for a moment. When we say pray in Jesus' name, just take the name out and just say pray in Jesus for a moment. What would it mean if I were to ask you, what does it mean to pray in Jesus? That's making it easier or harder for you to understand the concept. Neil.
So, like, my thoughts were that it kind of appeals to the fact that Jesus is interceding for us before the Father. He is that connection that we have that allows us to make these requests and to come before the Father and to pray to Him. Just the sacrifice that he's made that allows God to see us with, you know, our sins taken from us and Christ's merits attributed to us.
Good. I'm going to comment more on that, but we'll see Jim has raised his hand here too. Go ahead, Jim.
Neil raises Christ interceding and explaining his human nature before the Father on our behalf. So, with what Neil said, taking that to the catechism of the answer, Christ doing continuous interceding in his human nature before the Father.
Amen. So you're getting more and more along these lines of how I'm thinking about this. So I'm going to begin to put up a few items here and talk through it, kind of breaking down a number of the different things we mentioned. And this is not exhaustive, so this is some ways in which we think about how it looks and means to pray in Christ. One of the things I'm hearing coming out is in His Word. You see in the Scriptures a lot the idea that like God hears the righteous. And you see in the Scriptures a lot that God doesn't hear the wicked. Or to put the example this way, give you an illustration here. Anybody remember the story of Esther? Remember how she was concerned about going before the king? What did she think might happen? She could be killed, right? Would he lower his scepter, or censer, so that she would be received into his presence in order to make a request, or would he not, and she'd be put to death? So she kind of had to go in there not knowing how she'd be received before this great king, husband or not. And so when we go before the Almighty God, we could go in our own filthiness of righteousness, the lack thereof, in our own worth, not a good prospect. Or we can go in the worth of Jesus Christ, in His righteousness, in His standing before God, which does bring into mind all those intercession aspects to that as he intercedes on our behalf, it's like we're there with him because of our union with Christ. You know, when you pray, do you pray with that sense? Do you pray thinking like, oh Lord, I come here today so worthy to be before you because of how great I am?
Oh, no.
Right? That would be wrong, right?
No.
That wouldn't be praying in Jesus' name, even if you add the words at the end. Right?
Our righteousness is like filthy rags.
That's right. And so instead, you pray, oh Lord, I come justified only by grace in Christ. Oh Lord, I come as your one whom you've adopted for your son's sake. You know, this is beginning to pray in Jesus' name. Dan, you had your hand raised there.
I have a question before we move too deeply concerning. Since we're praying in the power of learning the mediator, it concerns me a little bit that the catechism explains human nature. Because we have to be the God-man in order to be the mediator, so we have to be mediating as the incarnate God, as the God.
That's
what we're saying. Oh, okay, so it's not saying that only mediating is human nature.
No, it's mediating in this. No, it's. If you speak of Christological, where's Christ right now? This physical nature, we're right here. That's what they're talking about.
Oh, okay, so that was their only point in specifying.
Exactly. They weren't dividing this, but the whole Christ is actually in our
okay.
In this community. And the right.
And I don't have the catechism in front of me. It wasn't part of my lesson for today, but that sounds right. Okay, so is your prayer resting in Jesus Christ, putting your faith in Him that you can draw near to God in prayer because of Him, because you've been reconciled? Right? I mean, prayer is this relationship, right? And facilitating this relationship. And if you haven't been reconciled, then you don't go before Him and say, "Hey, can I get this?" You know. But in Christ, because you've been reconciled in Christ. So this is part of it. I would also put with Christ's goals. And desires. So, you know, when we remember those verses we read from John, you know, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I would be hard-pressed to think like that means we can ask for things that are contrary to Christ's desires, contrary to Christ's rules, contrary to Christ's will. And so we can also put, you know, similarly, according to His will. You know, remember what Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. Is if we're going to pray in Christ, in His name, that prayer should have as its priority the kind of things that Jesus says are His priorities. Heavenly treasure, the kingdom of God, the gospel going forth, for daily bread. He said that was something, right?
It puts a depth of prosperity. I can ask for whatever I want. God has to give it to me.
And it means that as we look to do this in our prayer, we grow in the very process where we begin to say, I want my goals and priorities to be coming in Christ, and therefore His goals and priorities to be coming forth in my prayer. And so I have to reflect on what that looks like. What does it actually look like to have those kinds of priorities reflected? So I flip over to 1 John 5:14. John 5:14 and 15.
kill you.
No, this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, hear it. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked.
Good. So, that's basically what we're talking about, right? I wanted us to see it in the scripture, though. And what does he say we'll have if we pray according to his will? He hears us. Okay, good. And what did I hear over here?
The petitions.
The petitions. Okay, good. Confidence. I was looking for, but we have confidence that he hears us. So it's related to everything that we talked about. Really? And so related to all this too, I say this is an expression of our faith. And maybe another way to say it is that means our prayer is Christian. Christian prayer. You know, again, not simply because you slapped on the word in Christ's name at the end, though that is certainly valuable and helpful, but even if you didn't have an ending in the prayer, the way you pray should look a lot different than the way, like, a Muslim should pray. Or some Hindu should pray. Right? The very character of our faith, what we hold dear, informs how we relate to God, and therefore is covering the content of our prayer, and that's part of what it looks like to pray in Jesus' name. Does that make sense? Yes, I'm seeing a question mark here.
You know, when we pray, we're praying to the Father.
That's right. That's right.
Jesus is our intermediary.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to pray to the Father, who Jesus, I mean, he gave honor first to his Father before himself. I mean, that should carry so much weight because we're not just praying to Jesus through Jesus. It's also, you know, we're involved. It's the whole triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And I think sometimes when we, sometimes when I'm in a hurry, I want to pray for Jesus and do it quickly and, you know, send an arrow up real quick or something. But it's the Almighty God that we're praying to. And I don't think we ever could lose, you know, sight of that.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And so, kind of tying some of these pieces together, so as we've been defining prayer, we said many things. One of the things we said, it's in the Spirit. And now we're saying it's in Christ. but it's, in most situations, to God. And the way it's in the Spirit is different than the way it's in Christ. And so, and there is this whole Trinitarian aspect to our prayer. We pray to the Father in the merit and efficacy of Christ, in the arena or mode of the Spirit who was within us and helping us to pray. And so, you know, these are all part of the whole piece. And so, you know, what we've begun to do up here is try to understand what does that look like to pray to the Father in the name of Christ. We come in Christ's merit. We come with Christ's goals and desires in going before the Father. We come looking to pray according to Christ's will, which is God's will. And, you know, it's an expression of our whole Christian faith that our whole content of our prayer comes Christianly because we're praying in Christ. Now, this is only beginning to touch on the different aspects, but Jim.
We think of prayer as an aspect of worship.
Yes, so far.
What I'm leading to is who we're to pray to as well. Mm-hmm. That's why our prayers are different. And we pray to the Father in the name of the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Right.
That is an act of worship. And that should limit who we pray to in the name of.
That's right.
Earlier, what we figure from Islam, but I'd also say that we pray differently than other Christians. as well because of that, because we see prayer as a method of worship as well.
Well, I'd also say it means we pray differently than, like, a Jew.
Yeah. What I'm getting at is, like, Catholics, they have praying in the saints.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
So what I'm getting at is because it's an act of worship, we're to worship only God.
Mm-hmm.
And that should direct our prayer.
That's right.
In that way. So,
that's right. Good. And something that is on my notes, but what Eric brought out, I think, is important to throw up here, too. We come in the new covenant. I mean, that's not exactly what Eric did, but I'm taking what Eric's comment was and running with it. In when talking about the name, and he pointed in the old covenant, the that beginning of the Ten Commandments, that connection of Yahweh who brought them out of the land of Egypt, and we now come right in the new covenant as Christians because of Christ. And so again, all of this is to be informing, and this and more is to be informing how we think about prayer, how we approach prayer. And if we don't have this, it's not a Christian prayer. And we want Christian prayer. Right? We want to be praying like Christian prayers. Does that make sense? So I already kind of gave you this example, but I'm going to give you an example of how you could end your prayer in Jesus' name, but not actually have a prayer done in Jesus' name. I'll give you an example. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pharisee.
That was the Pharisee, that's right. What's that written on the mountain?
You wouldn't do that if you're the Pharisee.
That's right, yeah. But the point is, just sticking the word at the end shows you how silly it is. Because the prayer wasn't Christian. The prayer was not in Christ. The prayer was in himself. Yeah. And so then the next one, same place in Luke. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen. Notice there was no in Jesus' name there, but that was in Jesus' name. Yeah. Right? I mean, that was trusting in God for forgiveness and grace. And so, the whole idea of praying in Christ's name is something more than just slapping something on the end. Okay, good. Any other questions on praying in Jesus' name?
Oh. Did the early Christian back then know you're supposed to pray in Jesus' name? Did they do that?
Well, see, I'm going to push back on your question a little bit.
Okay.
Do you mean, did they slap on at the end the words in Jesus' name? Or did they know that they're supposed to pray in Jesus' name? And they are supposed to pray in Jesus' name because Jesus taught it in John's Gospel like we read, so of course they knew. Now, I think maybe you're asking something different there.
Oh, I was just wondering, like, when did they start doing that?
When you're asking, when did they start putting the little praying at the end?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a good question. I don't know the historicity historical nature of that. Daniel maybe knows.
No, but I think I know who might know, and I will tweet our Scott Clark later and ask him that.
That's a good source. Absolutely. So, but my contention would be, Tom, that the early Christians prayed in Jesus' name, whether they used that ending or not. Does that make sense? I think that's kind of the heart of my whole point right now. That praying in Jesus' name is not about the little line at the end. It's about something far more great, far more wonderful. Hope that makes sense. Okay. Other questions? All right. So we got a little bit of time left here. We're defining prayer. The next one we're going to define is, let's look at a verse. And you can guess what I'm defining it. Go to 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. We're going back to defining prayer. We said prayer is something done in the Spirit, something done in truth. Prayer is a request for help. Prayer is a means of grace. Prayer is something done in the name of Christ. You've got 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 5:17. Neil.
Pray without ceasing.
So what's prayer?
communication.
All important truths, prayer is a duty. Comes from in there, praying without ceasing. So like in Luke 18:1, as Jesus spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. So it's a duty. It is something that you are commanded to be doing. To not do it would be to omit, to have a sin of omission. And so let me ask the question, does prayer being a duty encourage you or discourage you in prayer? Encourage you? Okay, why?
Well, whenever I pray, I'm always uplifted. I'm encouraged. That's what prayer does.
Okay. Okay. So that encourages you in fact that it's a duty?
Oh, no.
Well, that's why I asked my question. Does it being a duty encourage you or discourage you? Jim?
I would say encourage.
Okay.
It is a duty God knows what's best for me to do.
Okay.
Good. So, if God says you should do this, there's a reason why I shouldn't be putting up a reminder.
Eric?
I think it's a reminder just how willing God is to give his children what they need.
That is a pretty cool idea to piggyback both those two answers. This duty is of all the duties that we're given, if you think about the duties of this one, it's kind of like if I tell my son, your duty is to go and clean your room, he probably doesn't get as excited about that. If I say, your duty, son, today is to have fun, okay, I can do that. Here's his duty. So, call out to me for help and I will give you good things. And do more. You haven't asked me enough. Yeah, I mean, this is a wonderful thing to have as a duty. And so, yeah, I think it should encourage you. Anyone else along those lines? Daniel?
Yeah, along those same lines, because I find that I don't pray often enough, and it's usually based on self-reliance. I mean, you're relying on yourself. You think that you're going to be stronger, but really just breathing anxiety. Mm-hmm. And so when we're told to pray and to pray all the time, you know, even in just throughout the day calling out to God for his presence with us, it takes away our self-reliance.
Amen.
It's a duty for a Christian to pray all the time around ceasing. More than that, for us, we have to be obedient. So the Lord just gives that duty. So we have to be obedient.
Yeah. And that's where it's interesting, because, and that's why I asked the question, does this mean a duty encourage you or discourage you? Because Diego's right. There's this point when I'm making the point here about it being a duty, it means it goes from like this cool thing you could do to this cool thing you have to do. And there is an obedience component there that the temptation could be to be like, oh man, what a burden. Or we could be, the First John idea, your commands are not burdensome. Oh, how I love your law. And so that's the challenge for us, is it is an act of obedience. It is something we're commanded to do, and to make sure that we keep before us in the right attitude about that, not seeing it as a burden or a difficulty, but as the good thing that it actually is. Other comments on this question of a duty? Derek?
When you brought up that text in 1 Thessalonians 5, we have almost one or two word commands that begin preceded and followed. And it seems that there might be even a connection between each of these things in prayer. Rejoice always, in everything give thanks, for this is the will, there's duty. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, God's promises, his covenant, obligations. Test all things, abstain from every form of evil.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to be revisiting that passage along the way in our prayer series. I did preach a sermon on that passage. I don't remember how. Maybe it was a Thanksgiving sermon. And you know, did the whole larger passage and talked about, you know, the various modes of prayer. But there's one in there for prayer. Anyone else? One more minute here. Any other comments? Well, we'll pick this up next week, and we're going to talk one more thing of what prayer is, and then we'll get into some things that prayer isn't. And we're still in the fighting stage. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for every good and perfect gift. We thank you for the ways that you are at work in our life, even through prayer, that as we come to you in prayer, as we come in Christ, we're grown even through that whole process of thinking how to pray Christianly. And we thank you that for Christ's sake you do hear our prayers. We thank you even now Christ intercedes on our behalf, and us united to him is there with him in that prayer. And so Father, we ask Lord now to give us a good break before we have our worship service, that this short break would clear our minds and give us a chance to connect with one another, but then also to be prepared for the reading and preaching of your word and the worship and with all our heart and soul and strength and all the songs we sing and prayers we give. We pray this in Jesus' name.